After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, hello. Welcome again to what was supposed to be the final episode of the year of the Bear and Parrot Jeff and Josh Hot Sheet podcast. The hot sheet you read today, this podcast is out today, will be the final one, but it sounds like we are going to continue podcasting right on through the off season. So rejoice, listeners. You get more weekly doses of us talking about minor leagues, talking about the fall league, probably talking about winter league. I'm sure there will be some delirious podcasts during the teeth of handbook season when we're just awash in editing chapters and running down grades and trying to find signing scouts, and doing all that good stuff that helps that handbook go to press right before Christmas every year and then get into your hands before spring training. But the main bullet point of this presentation is there will be more Jeff and Josh podcasts in your listen holes over the course of the off season. Jeff, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck with me about everything you said was the usage of the word listen holes, or I guess that would be words depending upon how you spelled it. I think listen holes is a single word though in the BA style guide. So I'm going to go with single word listen hole, but yeah, I'm excited, man. Keep on talking. It's going to be great. You know, we're going to be delirious and like obsessed with whatever team we're editing and reading and watching at that point. So we'll have, you know, like two random guys from like the Blue Jays that I probably totally overrate over the course of the off season. You know how these things work, but looking forward to it. And I don't know, I'm kind of looking forward to the madness of handbook season.
Okay, well, that's how you could tell you've only done one of them. And that it hasn't fully started yet. The madness of handbook season is madness indeed. You know, it's never smooth. There's always a power outage or two, or a chapter that falls through, or a major trade where you have to, oh crap, you need eight new prospects or whatever, or the Rule 5 throws a loop into it. And we always say the transaction deadline is going to be the Rule 5, but if, you know, some blockbuster happens after those 40 men rosters are set,
gotta do it.
I think there was a Puig, the deal that sent Puig to the Reds and Josiah Gray to the Dodgers. Yeah, that all happened like the day before the hot sheet went to press.
The handbook.
There was no hot sheet in the offseason. But in any case, we're going to take a slightly different tact with this particular podcast. It's called the Hot Sheet Podcast, but we're not going to talk a whole lot about the hot sheet because half the minor league season is over at this point, at least for the regular season. Low A and high A are done. The rookie levels have been done for a couple weeks, and the double A level has one more week to go. Triple A regular season has two more. Playoff matches up are set. The first playoff game of the first full season playoff game of the year, Eugene and Vancouver, is going to start here in a couple hours. So the minor league season is both winding down and the minor league postseason is cranking up. So what we're going to do is talk a little bit about our favorite memories of the minor league season that we've had this year. And I'll let you kick it off, Jeff. What was your favorite moment of your 2022 minor league season?
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of great ones. you know, certainly seeing Andrew Painter last week, that was a great one. You know, even though it wasn't as many innings as I would have liked, Harrison versus Tiedemann was really a lot of fun, just to have those two guys going back and forth. You don't get too many matchups of that quality. But I honestly, I'll say, like, my favorite memory is being in Florida second week of the season, couple days, I think it was the first game I went to after they implemented, where they started enforcing heavily the minor league pitch clock. And I got a sub 2 hour game in Dunedin, with Fort Myers in Dunedin. And Marco Araya, though I know he was kind of injured and missed a lot of time, was phenomenal that night. The fastball was great. The slider was really good. The changeup was really good. And it was one of those things, you show up to a game like that and you're happy to get a good pitching performance, but it was a phenomenal pitching performance. And just to experience a 2 hour game, I don't think I'll forget that, just because it was such like shell shock coming off of spring training and, you know, backfield games, and then a lot of college games, which obviously do not have the pitch clock. So it was like culture shock. So I think that to me, funny enough, is like my lasting memory is that particular start. I think because of how good Raya was and just how quick the game was.
And, you know, one thing I want to ask you, just, I'm sure we talked about it at the time, but how does the first Futures game for you stack up in that mix?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty high. I would just say that it's different. But I'm going to sound like obnoxious here. It is awesome to see that many prospects. It is great to watch. The BP, honestly, might have been my favorite part of the Futures game. The prospect pad was right up there too, being able to sit down and actually have some in-depth conversations with some of these players and getting to know like what they're doing a little bit better and just like, you know, what the thought process is with certain things. That was really valuable, I think, just as like a journalist. But the only thing is it's still a showcase game. And, you know, there's just not the competitiveness that there is in even a minor league game, I'll say. I don't know. I like games. Like I like the natural flow of a typical game, you know, a regular season game, or even better if it's a playoff game. But yeah, so I think that's the one thing, like with the Futures game, you know, it was cool, but you know, it doesn't have the same authenticity or taste, smell, feel as like a good minor league game does, you know. Like I get real jacked up. I was excited, but after Futures game, but like after a great minor league game, like I'm pretty jacked up after I've seen like an awesome performance, you know.
For sure. Yeah, I know that feeling. You know, I felt that way before with some pitchers. You know, I got that feeling the other day with I got to see Anthony Volpe's first multi-homer game in the minor leagues since 2019. Yeah, since low A. At some point. Oh, no, it was last year then. It must have been last year since he was in Tampa. He had two home runs against the Durham Bulls here in Durham over in the second or third game of a six-game set. It was pretty fun to watch, to see a top prospect perform like a top prospect. And I've seen like five of his home runs now, not just this year, but last. So he's given me some pretty special moments. But if anybody knows who I am, they know what my favorite moment of the minor league season was. And that is the first series of Jackson Chourio's full season career here in Zebulon. That is not only my favorite moment of the minor league season this year, it might be my favorite moment of my 9 years in Baseball America. It was that special. I don't think you know, I've told this story 1,000 times already somehow. I don't think I came in expecting to see what I saw, to see, you know, this supernova of a talent. I knew, you know, he got some money on the international market, and just like everybody else on that Zebulon club, he got some money on the international market, and I expected to see some good, some bad. And I didn't see a whole lot of bad, especially that first week. And the one game that crystallizes it is that final game of the series when it's 40 degrees and he's, you know, from Venezuela where they're not playing baseball in 40 degree weather. And he goes 4 for 4 with a backside home run and makes some plays in center field. And it just all comes together for you. Like, this one's special. And I think he's proved that over and over and over again. This year, he hit his 20th home run the other day of the season, and he just turned 18 and a half this past Sunday, September 11th. So 20 home runs at that age with, you know, a little bit of extended spring training time, absolutely no complex league time is pretty nuts. And then we find out just a few hours before this podcast that he got promoted to double A. And excuse me, an 18 and a half year old at double A is silly regardless, but just to put it puts a cherry on the season that he's had. And, you know, I do think kind of as a side note here that we might see that kind of thing happen more often with the way the Class A seasons are staggered with the double A season and the triple A seasons. Like if we have, you know, let's say Jason Chorio comes out next year and does a similar thing where he gets to Lynchburg and crushes and then goes to Lake County and crushes. Maybe they send him to Akron for the last series of the season. If he's the similar, if Supernova runs in the bloodlines of the Chorio family, maybe that happens next year. Or just about any other prospect where you might move them up just to continue their season in the last weeks of the upper level regular season. And, you know, maybe you move them up to Nashville because Nashville will have one more series after Biloxi is done. And, you know, I was telling Jeff before we got on the podcast, this sets up a matchup for my heart because the pitcher version of Jackson Chorio for me is Yuri Perez. And he'd missed a little bit of time with a bit of like a lat injury, but he's back. He just rehabbed for low A Jupiter, but low A Jupiter season's done and high A Beloit season's done. And Biloxi and Chorio are in Pensacola to close the year. So we might get Yuri Perez versus Jackson Chorio. And if that's the case, I may explode with joy watching those two particular young talents match up. So yeah, that was my favorite moment of the minor league season. There's been a lot of really good ones. You know, just talking to Ellie De La Cruz the other day for a feature you're going to see in the mag and probably on a longer version online was pretty special. He's a really, really engaging young man to talk to. So that was really fun. I think about spring training was always great. And then Arizona Fall League's coming up, and that's my favorite time of the year. I absolutely adore the Fall League, and we'll be down there October 2nd through the 15th. So I'm going to get my share of Fall League, maybe a little bit of the last tail end of instructs mixed in there too. So, you know, maybe double, triple up every day and then come home and collapse that following Sunday. So yeah, in summation, Jackson Chorio was my year. And if you've followed me at all on Twitter, you know that. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's get our first ad break out of the way right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Are you looking to upgrade your game on and off the field? Triple Crown Jewelry makes the cleanest jewelry in the game so you can show your style. Their jewelry is made by athletes for athletes with durability and style in mind. They make the best-selling number pendants and chains that you're already seeing on the field. Whether your style is gold, matte black, or silver, Triple Crown Jewelry has what you need. Personally, I'm more about the silver, but Triple Crown is ready for whatever your style. The chains look great. They're durable with a shine that stands out, and when you put it on, it has a nice heft to it. You can feel the quality. Your number is yours. It's part of your identity, and Triple Crown knows that. They have numbers from 00 to 99 available, so you can show your number, your identity, on and off the field. Their jewelry will never turn your neck green or fade. They're tarnish-resistant and made to last. These aren't just accessories. They're a statement of your dedication and love for the game, and that shine is unmatched. And in addition to choosing between the three different finishes, you can also choose from a variety of chains, including rope, Franco, and Cuban chains. So try it yourself. If you're ready to elevate your drip on and off the field, get some new drip at TripleCrownJewelry.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 25% off your first order site-wide with promo code BA2022. That's BA2022 at TripleCrownJewelry.com. And by doing so, you're supporting our podcast. Orders are shipped the same or next business day from New Jersey, and orders over $50 get free shipping. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make a statement both on and off the field. Go to TripleCrownJewelry.com and lead the league in drip.
And we're back. So, Jeff, you know, have you looked at all at the minor league playoffs? Because they're in the early stages. You know, there's some pretty cool matchups coming down the pike. As far as prospect watching, regular seasons are over, but prospect watching is not done. What's something you're looking forward to in the minor league playoffs?
Yeah, I've really been trying to hone in on my teams, which are Toronto, St. Louis, and Colorado. So I watch a lot of Northwest League because I haven't seen those teams. That's actually Vancouver is the only Toronto affiliate I haven't seen multiple series from this year. So I try to watch as much Vancouver as I can. It's also a pipeline in New Hampshire. So, you know, even if not getting those guys this year, it gives me some background. Plus, I have to do the handbook chapter. So they actually finished up with a series against Eugene this week. And they're actually facing Eugene again this week in the Northwest League Championship. So, you know, I'm excited. It's a good series, a good matchup. Eugene's a really talented team. Mason Black, really good arm. He pitched really well the other night. Carson Seymour is a name that I've brought up a few times. Was acquired in the Darren Ruff trade. May turn out to be a pretty good win for the Giants there. But they also have a loaded lineup. I mean, you're talking about a lineup that has, you know, Marco Luciano, Louis Matos is in that lineup as well. I know that the star's down a little bit on that one. Hunter Bishop, I know Hunter Bishop hasn't exactly turned into what people thought, but, you know, once again, like a decent player. They have Dupree up from low A, who I think is the all-time single season home run record holder for Northeastern out here in Boston. So I'm a little bit familiar with him. But there's other guys too that I'm not thinking of. But Hayden Cantrell, who not a super exciting prospect, but honestly like a pretty fun player to watch, like just, you know, twitchy, fast. He's not a bad defender, exuberant on the field. But, you know, the other side of it is Vancouver is a pretty talented team. They got some bats for sure. PK Morris has been hot of late. Desaun Brown's been pretty good. Rainer Nunez isn't bad. They have a couple arms. It's not as strong as it was before, but, you know, there's still a few arms, Santos, Dominguez, still a few arms that are worth, you know, checking out. So that's a series I'll probably watch. I also like the broadcast quality of those two teams. So that's probably the series I'll hone in the most on, at least this week. And then we'll see with, you know, Double A and some of the other series.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the kind of coincidence that Vancouver and Eugene closed the season with one another. Well, it's the same idea in the Double A playoffs or the Double A Eastern League playoffs, where Richmond's final two series are, or were, Bowie and then Erie, and Bowie and Erie are fighting it out to see who will play Richmond in the first round of the Eastern League playoff. So that's kind of fun. The Richmond gets to advance scout both those clubs in the last 2 weeks of the season before going back and playing them. And there's pretty good prospects on both those clubs. Kyle Harrison, like you mentioned, is on there, is on Richmond. They've got Vaughn Brown there, who's had a heck of a season. If you, by the way, if you were named Vaughn this year in the minor leagues, you're pretty, had a pretty good year. Vaughn Brown, I believe, is either the batting champion or in line to be the batting champion for the entire minor leagues. And Vaughn Grissom did something that we may be unprecedented. He won a category in high A best tools and is likely going to exhaust prospect eligibility, which doesn't happen too often. That's, you think about that. You have to go through Double A and in theory Triple A and then get 131 at bats in the big leagues. And he's going to do that for a team that's trying to defend a World Series championship. Pretty darn cool. But the point about that was Vaughn Brown is on Richmond. They've got some other guys too. Erie has Reese Olson and I believe Wilmer Flores still.
Yeah.
They've got
Dylan
some guys.
Dingler.
Yep, Dylan Dingler.
Parker Meadows, who's had a sneaky good year.
Yeah, he's pretty good too. And then Bowie has, not sure who Bowie has. It's Cesar Prieto, I believe.
Colton
Colton Cowser.
Fredo.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a fun little group. And, you know, if they really wanted to, well, they're not going to. I think they already moved Grayson Rodriguez to AAA, but they could be really mean and move him back down to AA next week if the playoffs got there and just kind of use him to scare some squirrels in AA. Yeah. he continues to build up innings. Look, we could talk about rehab guys in the minor league playoffs a lot. I've been to series where Andy Pettit started for the Trenton Thunder, then was relieved by Andrew Brackman. I saw Edwin Encarnacion in a Double A playoff race. There's plenty of Akron guys who I'm forgetting at this point. But there were some games where big leaguers played Clay Buchholz 1 year. For the Red Sox came in, I think, threw a bunch of no-hit innings against the mighty Trenton Thunder at the time. And, you know, you see those guys every so often. It's pretty funny to see, you've got, you know, a multi-time All-Star now in the affecting minor league playoff race. It's probably not funny to the teams at the time, but it's funny when you look back at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The playoff series I'm looking at is in low A, where you have Lynchburg versus Fredericksburg, the Battle of the Burgs. And on one side, on Lynchburg's side, you have Angel Janow, who I ranked as the number one prospect in the Arizona Complex League. And on the other side, you have right-hander Harlan Susanna, who I ranked as the number two prospect in the Arizona Complex League, and then was part of the package to get Juan Soto from Washington, D.C. to San Diego. So that's a pretty cool little matchup there. Janow is one of Cleveland's cash of middle infield prospects, and he shows really good contact skills on both sides of the ball, sneaky power, enough defense to stick at shortstop. The raves were really loud on him. And if you've been following by now, you know, not only about Chorio, but I've been on the Susanna bandwagon since March. Big, big, big right-hander, throws, you know, triple digits pretty constantly, wipeout slider, kind of the whispers of a changeup, but a pretty darn good first season as a pro. So that'll be a really fun one to watch. And as we both know, the broadcaster for Fredericksburg, Joey Zanaboni, is a very fun listen too. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty cool too. And, you know, I've been keeping up with the playoff chart. It's interesting. The Giants have four affiliates in, one that's already won the championship in the ACL, but San Jose, Eugene, and Richmond all got in. I believe the Rays have four affiliates too. Montgomery, Doubling Montgomery, the Biscuits, are in for the seventh straight season, which is pretty darn impressive.
Can I just stop you here and just say how it's amazing, no matter what your accent is, if you say Biscuits, you immediately sound sassy.
Well, I am sassy.
Well, fair.
I'm very sassy. I'm, you know, I don't have an accent, which is really unfortunate.
Given you said Biscuits, you were like, Biscuits.
Biscuits. I don't really have an accent, which stinks, because I was, if you know me, I was born on the East Coast, raised on the West Coast, and now I'm kind of in the South, so I've got nothing as far as an accent goes, which stinks. But in any case, whatever my voice sounds like, it's not as impressive as the Montgomery Biscuits over the last few years, or the Rays affiliates. Last year, they were very close to a clean sweep in championships. I mean, Curtis Meade won three rings last year because he spent a little bit of time, and I think there was others who won three rings, a little bit of time with AAA Durham, which won their championship. I don't think it was a traditional championship last year because of the way that the season was. And they won the final stretch, and I believe Charleston won it, and Bowling Green won it, and Montgomery came, I think they came down to the final game. And this year, they're all back in, with the exception of Durham just yet, and Durham's leading the way in the International League. They're dueling back and forth with Scranton Wilkes-Barre, the Yankees affiliate in AAA, who we talked about earlier with Anthony Volpe on the club. So Rays affiliates in the playoffs is a pretty regular occurrence. And I think the playoffs will be really fun to watch and track as we get closer to the true end of the minor league season and the fall league and the winter league. And like we said, handbook season and all that good stuff. And now with that, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here, Jeff. What are you looking forward to next year in 2023? Any prospects that you saw this year that you want to see kind of an encore from next year?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to getting down, you know, as long as my assignments are still the same in terms of what we do for spring training. I'm excited to get down to Jupiter again and just be able to work, you know, some backfields that might have a little bit more talent. Excited to see potentially Cooper Jerpy, you know, on the backfields. There's a potential of that happening. Some of the Astros draftees, like, you know, Drew Gilbert, Dombrowski, who I had seen on the Cape years ago, but really the Nationals. I'm excited to see the Nationals complex because, you know, conceivably I could see Susanna and I could see James Wood multiple times in the course of a week. So that's pretty exciting. You know, thinking as far as next year, I think, as I always am, I'm most excited to see how some of these draftees settle in over the first couple of months and, you know, how we look at them a year from now, because I think that can alter and change pretty drastically. Look at Kyle Manzardo, I think our most recent addition to the top 100 list, guy that was a second round pick. And I'm not even sure he was in the Rays 30 in the handbook. And obviously the Rays system was stacked and I wouldn't blame anybody. And I don't think there was anyone that probably had him above 20, even if they did, you know, have him on a 30. So it's one of those things where like a year from now, things will look much different. Even July next year, things will look much different from how we view this draft class. And, you know, some of it will be guys that I probably stumped for a little bit, players that I didn't like as much, and just seeing how they sort of gel over the first year, you know, first full season of Pro Bowl. I think that's typically one of my favorite things to watch. There'll be breakouts, of course. I mean, being a little bit more generic here, but that's the stuff that I really like to get into and, you know, try to target players early that are showing signs of drastic improvement. And, you know, I think in some ways, like I did a pretty good job of that this year. I think I can do a better job next year. But for me, it's always the draftees and how they roll in, because it kind of marries the different parts of the content, you know, that I work in, whether it's Cape Cod stuff or some of the college looks I look at, and just my general fascination with the draft and player development and how a destination can really have an impact on the player. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but I really think that's probably what I'm looking forward to most, is just seeing how these draftees, like, will Brooks Lee be good? You know, will Eric Brown be good? What would Jacob Berry be like? You know, a year can tell us a lot.
I agree. And, you know, I'm not looking for short-winded from you. We do want the listener to get his or her bang for their buck out of this podcast. But I'll answer my own question, and, you know, it'll probably be my goal to finally cross Yuri Perez off my list. He is the best pitcher I've never seen. And I had planned, I'd hoped when I went to see Ellie that it was going to be Ellie versus Yuri in one of those games. And unfortunately, Yuri was hurt. It didn't work out that way. But below that, and I think I'll get a lot of chances to see Ellie next year. I'll get a lot of chances to see Yuri next year because Jacksonville comes to Durham a lot. And besides that, I want to see Tink Hentz when he goes to full season ball. Well, it was going to full season ball, goes to Peoria next year. He is someone I'm really, really intrigued by, a really live arm with a nasty changeup and a pretty good breaking ball that maybe needs to come along a little further. But, you know, in terms of pure electric arms, there's few better than Tink Hentz's in the minor leagues. His stuff on the on MILB TV is just, you know, must watch. I'm, you know, I'll say it again, I'd be remiss if I didn't want to see some more from Jackson Chourio next year at the upper levels, Double A, Triple A. See if he can get to the big leagues next year. We'll see what else, you know, there's other guys that I'm really interested in, you know, some of the guys that you saw on the FCL and ACL lists, Miguel Blaze with the Red Sox, like I mentioned, Janao and Susanna, I'd love to see them again. Luis Serna with the Yankees looks really fun. Samuel Basayo with the Orioles looks like a guy I'd love to see, and we'll get plenty of chances because, you know, if you come through the Orioles lower minors, you're going to come through this general region. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some of the Rangers guys who I do for their system. Daniel Cueva, Jason Morabell, Anthony Gutierrez, guys like that. And then even more Emiliano Teodo next year when he moves on to Hickory. They've got a lot of fun guys in the lower minors that I'll be excited to watch come through here a billion times next year, as the season wears on. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2023. Already thinking about getting back down to Arizona, or as I call it, Bearzona. Actually, there's a real place called Bearzona, which is pretty cool. And getting on those backfields and, you know, seeing what I can see. Although I will do that in a couple weeks, hopefully, when I see a little bit of instructs with my fall league. And like I said at the beginning, if I'm really feeling frisky, I'll triple up and see all those guys in one day and then go home and just, or go back to the hotel and just kind of unpack and realize all the levels of baseball I've seen in one particular day. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to next year. I think one thing we should just mention before we're done is that Cole Waits got called up to the big leagues today. And, you know, about a year ago at this time, I was tweeting about how his fastball was nuts. And now it's a big league fastball. And Jeff, I know you agree that Cole Waits' fastball is pretty darn good.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I think it's arguably the best fastball in the minors. Well, I guess it's in the majors now, but it's probably one of the best in baseball. I mean, just you look at Hop. I mean, he's getting 20 inches of ride on a regular basis almost consistently. Spin, velocity consistently, release characteristics, how it plays out of the hand, just like vertical plane, all that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, it's It's tremendous. I honestly think it's maybe top 10 fastballs in the world. I mean, it's just has every possible marker. And then you look at the performance and he gets whiffs with it. He gets chases with it. Not a pitch that guys really barrel up, and he throws it a ton. And when you're getting really high rate stats on a pitch that you throw that much and it's a fastball, that's a rarity. You know, obviously a relief only guy, but a really intriguing fastball.
Absolutely. I've been really, really intrigued by what he's done in the minor leagues. They had a lot of guys last year who kind of killed it in terms of relievers who got just tons and tons of strikeouts. And he was foremost among them. He was probably the lowest profile since he kind of came out of nowhere with, because I think he had a knee injury to start his year and was mostly at the complex. And then when he finally got to the lower levels, he killed it, just struck out just about everyone. And I believe closed the door on Eugene's championship last year. And, you know, that was September 25th, I believe, that I tweeted about it. So less than a year later, he's about to make his big league debut, which is a pretty cool story for a really late round draft pick out of, I believe, West Alabama.
Great That's job. That's right. Division II, West Alabama.
Great job by the Giants scouts to get a guy like that so late. They're not always, it ain't always the first rounders. It ain't always the second rounders. Sometimes those late round guys are big leaguers too. So kudos to the Giants for finding a good one. You know, I think we're done with this episode. Any last words, Jeff?
No, absolutely. I got nothing else to say, man. It's been a blast. I can't wait to keep on doing this throughout the off season. And paws up to all the listeners out there.
Perfect. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.